This is Radio 2, your afternoon's company, on 433 and 330 meters and stereo VHF.
Paging Mr. Marks. Paging Mr. Marks. You're on in 2 minutes, Mr. Marks.
Thank you.
Do we have to have the dressing rooms in Aberdeen?
We present Marx in His Diary with Alfred Marx, Miriam Margolyes, and Rob Buckman, and a special star appearance from David Jason with music from the David Furman All-Stars. Ladies and gentlemen, Marx in His Diary.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late, ladies and gentlemen, but unfortunately I've been involved in a rather bad case of double parking. I didn't know how I got the rolls on top of the bread van in the first place. I expect you're wondering what I'm doing here. But you see, it started with the BBC because, you know, I've been feeling rather sorry for them. Now, let's face it, I mean, they knew me when I was penniless, and when they were rolling in it, now it's the other way around, they're penniless and I'm rolling in it. But I decided to volunteer my services before they conscripted me, and I rang the Director General. The trouble is he can't afford a phone anymore. So when he wants to contact his secretary, he uses two tins on length of string. He throws a matter. Now, eventually I got him to come to the call box, and I said, look here, boss, I know the BBC's in trouble, so I'm doing all I can to help you. Excuse me. Yes, hello?
Is that Alfred Marks?
Yes.
No, what I mean to say, is that the Alfred Marks?
Yes, yes, yes.
You mean the one and only the Alfred Marks?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to speak to the other Alfred Marks.
Sorry, now, where were we? Oh, yes, anyway, they said all right, so I said all right. I said I'll go and get a script from where I usually get them, and they said, don't do that, it's too expensive getting the Latin translated. Just, you know... They said, just do your own thing, so I thought, well, what shall I do? I mean, someone suggested a farming program, but it's not really my field, you know. Hello,
Mr. Marks. Did you know that the opportunities for struggling young actresses are getting fewer and fewer?
Yes, of course I did. I've been trying to get my hands on one for weeks. Sorry about that. You see, I'm a busy man, aren't I? This is my diary, you see. And have you seen a fuller diary than that? Look at that. It was Monday. Started with a board meeting for Marks Enterprises Limited. Morning, CD.
Morning, AM.
Morning, GG.
Morning, AM.
Morning, PP.
Morning, AM.
Let's get on with it, shall we? It's 12 o'clock already.
Afternoon, AM.
Afternoon, AM.
Afternoon, PM.
Please, we've got a lot to get through. We can't start with the minutes because the secretary spilled some nail varnish over them, so we can take those as red. I don't know why he does his nails in the office anyway.
Yeah, I think he does it. Yes. You think he's a damned outrage?
Quite, sir.
Damned outrage,
yes, not that, yes. What's the news from Marks Experimental Fur Industries?
Well, as you know, Mr. Marks, we're moving into new areas all the time. We've crossed a man-eating grizzly bear with a wild Bengal tiger to get some sumptuous striped fur.
Excellent, excellent. Now, how are they selling?
We're too scared to get near enough to find out. But not to worry, we're coming on very nicely with our crop of furry caterpillars.
Oh, good.
Yes, we've got 10 million. Another couple of dozen, we'll have a pair of gloves.
Anything else?
We're still having problems with those lemmings. No, it's no joke, Mr. Marks. It's the same every year. I don't know what gets into them, sir. If they're not chucking themselves off cliffs, they're sticking their heads in the gas ovens or taking overdoses. We've had to take their shoelaces and belts away and the chains out of the lavatories. And it's spreading to the other animals, this depression. Even the laughing hyena's taken to sniggering sardonically. They're all suicidal. The Japanese flying squirrels have gone around crash-landing on American aircraft carriers. I can't stand it anymore.
Yes,
it's getting
yes,
on
yes,
top
yes,
of
yes,
me.
Yes, quite, yes, or, yes, but is it making money?
Well, I think the company should have higher aims and ideals than money. I think we're far, far too obsessed with money and profits and selling. Money, money, money.
What do you think, Penny?
Well, I agree with Bob.
And I agree with Mrs. Tanner.
What about you, Mr. 12 and a half new pence?
I think I've got a very peculiar name.
Yes, well, what about that group we were sponsoring?
Well, one of them's on a murder charge, one of them was murdered, one of them's in a drug center, one of them's looking for the meaning of life in the bottom of the Thames, and one of them has become an urban gorilla.
What were they called?
The St. Mary's Gospel Choir.
I never really liked punk. I went to see them at the Rainbow. It was disgraceful. All that spitting, swearing, kicking and biting. Mind you, I didn't have a ticket, so the doorman was probably well within his rights.
We've got an extract from the latest Mark Ent film, if you'd like to see that.
Dirty Jake, the mountain man's in town, and he's a-heading this way. I said Dirty Jake's a-heading this way, and he looks real mean. He's got 2 6 guns, 6 2 guns, 4 shotguns, and a 45 pea shooter. And he's still wearing them old black socks.
We gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here.
Too late, too late. He's here.
Oh, my God. Oh,
it's true. Here comes Marshall Earp.
Dirty Jake, I'm Wyatt Earp. I'm fine, thanks. How are you? I had a whiff you were in town. Yeah, well, be that as it may, I gotta ask you to leave peaceable like. What do you mean, why? You know why, Jake. It's a fair law, and it applies to everyone. All mountain men called Dirty Jake must leave their socks on the outskirts of town.
I got home.
Oh, you did leave your socks on the outskirts. You sure got black woolly feet, Jake.
Quick, jumping Jehoshaphat. He's making a run for it. After him, man.
Where's he now?
There he is, Marshal. Up there on the top of the town hall steeple.
Get the searchlights on him, man.
Yeah, sure, boss, but it's broad daylight.
Well, shoot him down, then.
It ain't no use, Marshal. He's out of range of our antiperspirant sprays.
Here we got one last hope. Scramble the crop sprayers. He can't hold out much longer. They're giving him everything they got. That's it, boy. They got him. How's he, Doc?
Yeah, townsfolk can breathe easy again, Marshal.
You mean he?
Yeah, completely disinfected.
Come on, Jake, buy your beer.
Thanks, yeah.
Any opinions, anyone?
Yeah. What do you think?
Isn't that interesting? Well, anyway, Wednesday. Held auditions for the new show on Wednesday, a new show I'm putting on. Auditions can be difficult things, you know, for the people doing them. I remember my first audition. They slapped a book in my hand, pushed me on the stage and said, read that. So I did. I didn't get the job. I should have read it aloud, probably. I was pretty raw then. But on Wednesday, the first woman I saw was very odd. She did combined impressions of Percy Edwards and Percy Thrower. She whistled at cucumbers.
Come on.
Yes, thank you very much. Tell me, the cucumber, does it actually do anything?
No, but we can hope.
Yes. Thank you. Next, please.
Hello, I'm Sidney Thrust. And I specialize in your virile all-male character roles. Can I show you something?
I shouldn't bother to take off the dress just for that. No, I... Next, please.
Hello. I had a part in the Mousetrap.
Well, this isn't a casualty ward, you know. Next.
Morning, Mr. Marks.
Oh, not you, Norris.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Marks. Yeah, I got something for you. Performing dog act, Mr. Marks.
Performing dog act?
Yeah, brilliant. Shall I bring him in?
Yeah, if you must.
No, you won't regret this. You won't believe it. Rover, come on. Rover, in here, boy. Yeah, come on. Mate, out of the way. Now, down, boy. Down, that's all right. Sit down. Sit, Rover. Sit down. Sit. Will you sit down?
Does he do anything else apart from refusing to sit?
Yeah, he can do some. Go on, ask him one. Go on.
Oh, very well. Rover, what's 2 and 2?
See, I see that. Four. Got it right. 4.
Yeah, but you stamped on his tail 4 times.
No, I never did.
Oh, you did.
Well, yeah, only a bit. I only did it a bit.
Well, thanks for coming along, Norris, but I really do think.
No. Don't you want? Hold on. No, Mr. Mark, look. What? Don't you want to see his head stand?
He stands on his head.
Got this. Look. Come on. Rove. Come stand on your head. Stand on your head, boy. That's it. Go on. There. Look there. How about that, then, eh? How about that?
Well, let go of his back legs, then.
You are.
You're holding on to his back legs.
Well, of course I'm holding on to his back legs. If I didn't hold his back legs, the thing would fall over, wouldn't it? What's the matter with you?
Yes, well, I think I've seen enough. Goodbye. Thank you very much.
All right. I'm going. I don't suppose you'd like to hear his singing anyway. Okay,
just a minute. Did you say it sings?
Yeah, well, he does a bit. I won't bother with you, though. I mean, he's not up to much. He's not very... Come on, Rover.
No. Hold. I'd like to hear this.
All right, then, but don't say I didn't warn you. Go on. Come on. Ready, Rover? Come on, boy. Sing, boy.
La donne mobile. You're
I told you, didn't I? Awful, innit?
Superb, it's fantastic.
Yeah, what?
His singing is absolutely marvellous.
No, you'll have to shut up. I can't hear you for the racket this dog's making. What did you say? Hang on a minute. Quiet, Rob. Quiet, Rob. Will you be quiet? All right, you asked for it. That's better. What were you saying?
You shot it.
Yes, I shot it. You noticed that, yes.
But you're mad. That was marvellous. You could have made a fortune.
Go on, is that right? It's just as well I got another one back home then, innit?
You've got another dog just as good?
Oh, yeah, well, he's not quite as good. I haven't got the hang of the handstand yet, but at least it doesn't sing.
Next. Well, that was Wednesday morning. Excuse me.
Hello there, old bean.
Good God. Well, if it's not Gerald Makepeace Runcible.
Well, if it's not Alfred Marks.
Well, if it's not either of us, why don't you stop ringing me up? Sorry, now where was I? Oh, yes, Thursday. Thursday I got down to work on the novel. I suppose you're all thinking, now look at him, successful head of Marx Enterprises, world-famous novelist, owner of clubs, impresario. Well, if you're not, you ought to be, after all the trouble I've gone to set this lot up. It wasn't always like this, you know, and I've known poverty. Oh, my word, as a kid in the East End of London. Now, look, I've got a photo here. Now, look at this. Hair all over the place, grubby knees, black eye, dirty pullover. I wonder what the rabbi was doing in the picture in the first place.
Young Alfred's Diary, specially adapted for radio by speaking into a microphone.
London, in the late 20s. The year is 1931. A year of depression. Young Alfred sits scribbling away in the back room of his father's house. It's only a horrible, damp, one-up, one-down, terraced slum off the Mile End Road. But to the Marx family, it was the rat-infested hole they had to live in.
Dear Diary, things are bad here in the East End. Everywhere, depression, gloom, decay. And this is just on the good days. On the bad days, we sit inside longing for the days of gloom, depression and decay to return. Dad says we should cheer up. He says, never forget you're a Cockney, because you were born within the sound of Bow Bells. My sister wasn't, though. She's deaf. Mother says Dad should have gone into the coronation mug business like Uncle Max.
selling souvenirs to mugs who thought there was a coronation this year. But really, really, Diary, things have gone from worse to even worse ever since Father's rag and bone business went downhill and knocked over Uncle Max and killed him. Today, I took Dad's best suit to the pawnbroker's. He looked at it. It had no buttons. The collar was coming out of the seams. The edges were frayed. I don't want this, he said. You know I can't get rid of quality clothing. I got home and Dad took me on his knee. He looked in the eye and...
Son,
he said,
never be ashamed of being poor, son. They're not in the poorhouse yet, you know. And who knows, when we've saved up enough money, we might be. I still see my sister, of course. Funny girl. She's always late for everything. Late for school, late for work, half an hour late for a marriage. The doctor's just told her she's 12 months pregnant.
Mr. Marks. It is Mr. Marks, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we are Fulhamans.
And Gillespie.
Operettis.
And Liberettis.
Oh, yes.
We've got this little ditty here.
And we wondered if you'd just like to have a little singy.
Yes. Right, from the top then. Yes. Away we go.
Words, yes.
It is a fact, as everyone who's ever seen an opera knows, there is among our baritones, our basses and our sopranos, our tenors and contraltos, a tradition long and laudable, to sing the tune sublimely, but to make the words inaudible. A singer worth his salt will never hit a note that's flat or sharp, and ditto, ditto, diction, he will never make the latter sharp. This principle he pledges with fidelity fanatical, that if it's comprehensible, it isn't operatical.
This principle he pledges with fidelity fanatical,
that if it's comprehensible, it isn't operatical.
Want to leave the chorus and be one of the soliloquists, then cultivate the consonants of seven rate ventriloquists, and make your vowel so African or possibly Australian. This don't employ Miss Doolittle's in GB's or Pygmalion. Try missing out two syllables to make a line too short. Then add the missing words like this into the next line as an afterthought. Or get the whole line right, then have a sudden lapse of memory.
Well, what do you think?
I could.
Well, really, I'm really a very busy man, you know.
Hello, hello. Is that Alfred? This is Gavinia speaking.
Sorry?
Gerber, though you remember Darling and Regis. You remember Regis for Cockers after Twickers. Cynthia and Mooley were there.
Mooley?
You know Mooley. She's the one who's gone wonky over 30. Not 30, a Babs and 30, but the other 30. You remember Bobo bought Max.
Oh, Max, yes, of course. Yeah, I remember. I had a long drink with him and quite a chat.
Oh, did you, darling? That's clever. Max is an Airedale Terrier.
Well, not exactly a long drink.
Yes, no. Well, must dash, darling. See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, at Reggie's for Cockers after Twickers.
Yes, bye.
Bye.
Sick to death of these phone calls. We'll move on to something else. Right, now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for, what is the time, anyway? Excuse me. I'll ring Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Alf. Tim here. How are you, mate?
Fine. Tim, have you any idea what the time is?
Bloody if I know. I'll put you onto the speaking clock, though.
It will be 3:52 and 13 seconds precisely.
Oh, fast again, is it? No, I know what time it is. Time to get a new band. Actually, it's time for Mark's Diaries of Great Men. And this week we're looking into the diary of that great Englishman, Admiral Lord Nelson, the man who did for pigeons what ITV did for Bruce Forsyth. Let's have a look, shall we?
Monday. Tomorrow's my birthday. Looking forward to it immensely. Tuesday. Am born. Wednesday. Learned to write. Thursday. Tried to find out who wrote Monday's entry.
Let's go on a few years, shall we?
Paging Admiral Nelson. Paging Admiral Nelson.
What is it, my boy?
Dispatch from Admiralty House, sir.
Ah, what's to do?
Dunno. They said, take dispatch to Admiral Nelson. He left it in the washroom.
Thank you, but it wasn't important. I always carry a spare over my other eye.
That's good, sir. Would that be all, sir?
Yes, boy, here's a penny. Go and buy yourself a hot muffin.
Oh, hot muffins is tuppence.
Yeah, well, here's a match. Buy a coat on and cook it yourself. Wait a minute. Where is a message on the inside of this patch? Hello, sailor. Meet me in Portsmouth tonight at the Cockroach Tavern. I'll be wearing a yellow sou'wester, blue fishnet tights, a red velvet dress, and brown donkey jacket with a leg of mutton sticking out of the pocket. And so you'll recognize me, I'll have a rolled-up copy of the Times in my lapel. Till then, my darling, signed you-know-who. Oh, no, not him again.
Oh, just a minute, sir, there's a P.S. P.S. No, it's not him again, signed Lady Hamilton.
Glass of wine, Lady Hamilton?
Horatio, you made it.
No, I just bought it at the bar. I got your message, Your Ladyship.
Let's dispense with the formalities.
Very well. What do you want, your old rat bag?
I had to see you because, well, it may be our last chance before war breaks out and we have to leave each other.
There, there, there. Try not to worry about it.
I can't help it. I never thought I'd get called up. Paging Admiral Nelson, Paging Admiral Nelson.
What is it, boy?
Coded message from the Admiralty, sir.
Read it out then, will you?
Right, it says, dot, 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 dot.
Read that last bit again.
Dot.
Also, you were right, my lady, it's his war. Men, just remember, England expects every man to do his duty. And when you've been, report to your ships. Good luck, men.
How's it going, Nelson?
Ah, Prime Minister, welcome aboard.
Just popped over for a few minutes. Any snags?
Bit of a fright earlier on, sir.
Really?
Yes, I ordered the men not to fire until they saw the whites of the enemy's eyes.
And?
The cutting devils were all wearing sunglasses. What was that wooden bump?
Oh, it was the enemy, Captain. They sent over a kamikaze Rowan boat.
Any damage?
Yeah, it sank.
Hello, Admiral Nelson.
It's a French admiral. He's using a hailer.
No, he ain't using a hailer. He's just got big lips.
Admiral, can you direct me to the nearest post office? What? Sorry, I have the wrong phrase book. Admiral, if you don't give in, we will be forced to unleash our most horrible weapon.
We shall never surrender.
Very well. It leaves me no alternative. Bring out the ultimate weapon.
You mean?
Yes, the Charles Aznavour torpedoes. Bow un.
Would you stay in my arms? Madame. Great news for France.
Ah, oui.
Eh?
No, no. Have they surrendered?
No, but the torpedoes have got into the charts.
I'm hit, Mr. Bosun.
Oh, you lay down there, Captain.
What are they using?
They're using them Charles Aznavour torpedoes.
Very well, Bosun, you know what to do.
Captain, you don't mean...
Yes, I do. Break out the service-to-air Lena Zavaronis.
Right then.
Fire one.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
Ah, it's made it worse. I'm going fast. Kiss me, Hardy.
I certainly will, sir.
And for anyone interested in that kind of thing, hard luck, because we're not going any further.
All right, team, that's enough of all that for today. What am I doing next week, then?
Monday, you've got to take that book, Teach Yourself Surgery, back to the library.
I hope they didn't notice I'd taken out the appendix.
On Tuesday, it's your last chance to buy a ticket for the Irish sweepstake.
Good, I must get one. Last year I won a broom.
And don't forget, on Thursday, you have to inspect McGoolish's new perpetual motion machine.
Why haven't I seen it before?
He hasn't been able to catch it yet.
Mr. Announcer, please.
Yes, Mr. Marks.
Take an announcement, will you?
That was Marks in his diary with Alfred Marks as Alfred Marks, David Jason was head boy, Rob Buckman as the milk monitor, and Miriam Margolyes as the gold star. Music from the David Furman All-Stars. The script was conceived, written, and plagiarized by Lori Bowley, Terry Ravenscroft, Rory McGrath, Jimmy Mulville, and Clive Anderson, with additional material from John Langdon, Andrew Palmer, Jeffrey Atkinson, Neville Gohill, John Walker, Peter Hickey, Ken Rock, Myron Edwards and Tim Monaghan, Colin Brown, Bernard Cranwell, and Guy Jenkins. The program was produced by Griff Rhys-Jones. Thank you.